Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Morning.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Today we have a special guest who is actually a second time guest, friend of the show. Last time we chatted with him, he was the CEO of Wear Malcolm. He's now since moved on up and is the chairman at Wear Malcolm. Please help me welcome Lawrence Armstrong. Larry, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, absolutely. Glad to be here, Demetrius. And Jason, good to see you again, and looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, Larry, we chatted briefly prior to hitting record about this series that we're doing about the workplace evolution was actually brought up by a listener who was interested in, you know, post-COVID, what is happening to the workplace. They're a leader in their firm and, you know, managing a team and trying to figure out the landscape of how do you move forward in all of this, considering these waves of Delta variant and what could possibly happen in the future. We had a previous guest, Evelyn Lee, who talked a lot about the difference between hybrid work, all in office, and completely remote work. And we wanted to chat with you in particular with Wear Malcolm. You guys do a lot of office place, workplace design. What does it look like on from the design perspective of what your clients are asking about, what they're looking to implement, and how you guys are sort of navigating through this whole thing?
Sounds great. It's a big question, and it's one that's definitely been evolving through this last year and a half or so, and looking forward to watching it continue to evolve over the next probably couple of years as we hopefully fade out of this pandemic. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So before we jump right into that, I just wanted to first say congratulations on the, step up into the chairman seat and position. So congratulations on that. And what's the difference there for you?
Yeah. So thanks. Thank you very much. Well, it's been something we've been working on for actually several years. And, we've felt always that it's very important to have a succession plan in our company and plan for the future so that smooth transitions can take place without disrupting the business. So the end of December of 2019 is when we made the transition as of January 1st, 2020. And I appointed a new CEO and a new president. Both those titles I held for many years, and I was CEO for 28 years for the firm. And it was time to transition, and so provides some great opportunities, obviously, in our company for people to advance in their careers. And those actually coming up behind our new leaders, Ken Wink and Jay Todisco. And it's a great time for me. I think these transitions, I sort of say, look, you have to start a transition or you'll never finish it, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For me, though, after being CEO for 28 years, chairman's a great job. Yeah. Awesome job. Because I'm not really running the company, you know, on a day-to-day basis. I'm sort of advising our leaders. Really, most of my communication is contained to those few top leaders of the company, and more around big picture topics. and just helping them and guiding them wherever they need it and trying to stay out of the way otherwise. And so I've reduced my time here a little bit each year over the last several years, and now I'm about 50% here, which is great, which gives me time to work on some of my other pursuits, such as homelessness and in my art career and other things. So
I was totally going to ask about painting. So I'm glad to hear that you're still doing that. I still like seeing the pieces that you do. So it's great.
Yeah, thanks. It's I've been very busy with that, with the art and exhibiting in all kinds of places, all over Europe and the East Coast.
Wow.
It's been actually very busy. So it's been good.
Yeah. Now back to the subject at hand. When COVID hit, can you kind of walk me through what that transition was like for you guys? And as architects, how did you absorb that situation? Where did your mind go as far as the work that you guys were producing, the changes that clients were sort of experiencing? Because I know I was in the middle of projects where some of my clients' complete business structure shifted because of COVID, and going forward, they decided to sort of continue down that process of the way that their business had changed, which affected the design of the space. Can you talk a little bit about that transition for you guys as architects and sort of how that may have impacted your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. So in commercial real estate, it's a cyclical business anyway. And so obviously we were in the middle, right in the middle of peak times before the pandemic. And a lot going on all over the company and within the industry. The pandemic obviously threw everybody for a loop a little bit and became much more than anybody expected, and very quickly. And so what we found was we had, especially with regard to commercial office space specifically, I think projects that were going, for the most part, kept going. We had several go on hold, you know, several projects went on hold, you know, and so it affected our workload in our interiors groups across the country. But at the same time, and then our own firm, you know, we'd been experimenting for many years with remote work, and we were doing it mostly from a real estate sort of a strategy, you know, instead of continuing to take bigger and bigger office spaces, we were trying, and our employees were telling us also they wanted to try to work from home at times. And so we were experimenting with that in a couple of groups around the country and our IT.
Prior to COVID?
Yes. And for at least a couple of years. And our IT department had been working on the support systems for to make sure those, you know, we could be functional and efficient. So as we got into the pandemic, and then all of a sudden offices were closing and everyone was converting to work from home, our firm transitioned within the matter of a week to work from home. We were fully set up. Our IT department was awesome, and we just kept going, and it was awesome. They did a great job. The employees did a great job. Our IT support, our leadership all did a great job keeping us going and really continuing to be productive. We had several clients that actually increased business all during the pandemic. So we actually grew last couple of years pretty strongly. But with specifically to office space, we had all kinds of scenarios going on. Some clients just sort of stopped doing anything. Some just renewed their lease for a year, right? There's a lot of that going on. Just, I don't know what's going to happen. Our lease is up. We'll just renew for a year until we get past this, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that happened like at the onset, you know, and then of course it evolved after that. But, you know, at the onset, that was kind of the situation we were in. Just really not fully understanding what was going to happen, whether the bottom was going to drop out or you know, if this was going to be a short-term thing, you know.
Yeah. Once we started to understand that this was going to be a long-term thing, or, you know, somewhat long-term thing, what sort of happened to the spaces that you guys were working on or coming down the pipeline? did the design start to evolve, and how was that panning out?
Yeah, big time. You know, it was very interesting that, well, we have a workplace strategy group in our company that sort of is part of our interiors group. And, you know, they do a lot of research and try to understand, you know, what's happening and why and what the best solutions are. And so early on, they jumped into this to really figure out, okay, so people are working at home. How can we support that better? What is necessary in an office? And, you know, I think that where we're kind of ending up after a lot of discussion and research is, we'll find out in a couple of more years, but this may well be pretty permanent, where team members want to work from home sometimes, and the company needs to be able to support that. And then when they come to the office, it's more for specific reasons, such as collaborative efforts. So, or maybe some focus time and some focus meetings. So, you know, the idea of collaborative space as a bigger piece of an office environment becomes more important. Mm-hmm. Assigned desks become less important, right? So there's new cleaning protocols and new protocols having to do with not having personal things at your desk so that you can be flexible when you come to the office 3 days a week or 2 days a week, whatever it is. You take a desk that isn't necessarily always your desk, right? Assigned. So these are, you know, for some companies, these are big shifts. For other companies, this was an idea that was already had been in play before the pandemic, and certain companies were experimenting with these sorts of things already. So I think the good news is the ideas were already there, and then we were sort of all forced into adopting and adapting to these kinds of things. So, you know, I think right now every company is different, every culture is different. Things are, the rules are different as you go across the United States or around the world. You know, they're a little different. So I think what our workplace strategists have come to is it really takes a discussion with each company to first understand what their culture is, what their work is, how they work, how their employees are, the culture of their employees themselves, because I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, where they are, you know, are they in Texas or are they in South Dakota or are they in California or are they in New York? Those things have a huge bearing on, you know, for example, how many people are in their office, come to the office. Even within our firm, we've seen differences about, you know, how many people want to come to the office. We have some offices that are basically full and people, you know, they love working together. They love seeing each other. They love the environment. And so they want to be there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll probably take advantage of the opportunity to work from home sometimes because it's convenient, you know, with everything else they've got going on in their life. But then we have other offices. I think the attendance in the office is going to be less, you know, you know, depending on where they are because of, you know, traffic and commutes and that sort of thing. And, yeah. Or just the rules.
Yeah.
You know, people don't like to sit in the office all day with a mask on. So, you know, they have a tendency to work more from home, right? Yeah. And so when we get past all the masks and all the rules, and, you know, then we're going to see the effect on companies, how they're working, what employees want, you know, and real estate strategies.
Yeah,
you know, for companies. So it's a very interesting time, and it's evolving as we go here.
I was curious, as you're describing some of these things and saying there's some companies that were kind of already leaning that way to being remote, others and whatever, do you see it as kind of like is there an age demographic that goes along with that? Or is there a, you know, company period where it's a newer upstart versus a well-entrenched company already? Is there any similarities to those types of things?
Well, sort of yes and no. I think when you look at Fortune 500s, for example, and big, giant, established companies, you see the tendency is to want to kind of go back to as much as possible the way, you know, we had it. But that's not hard and fast. You know, I think it really varies company to company. And, you know, the financial industry, I think they tend to be want to be more hands-on, I've noticed. But I've seen, you know, startups or tech companies, they want to be together to collaborate, solve problems. I mean, there's something about being able to stand at a whiteboard, you know, and talk to your, you know, and brainstorm that, you know, is valuable. And, you know, it's hard to replace that on a Zoom call. But on the other hand, the technology is so much better, right? I mean, if this pandemic happened 10 years ago, we would have been dead in the water. Zoom didn't exist, and it was, you know, Skype was crappy. I mean, it's just, you know, we didn't have the tech, right, to support it. So, you know, I think it has a lot to do with the culture of a company and the leadership of a company more than the type of company.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of variation, you know, it's kind of amazing. So that's why we study every company and talk to each company individually and talk to their employees when we're planning space, because it is pretty individual to each company and where they sit in, you know, geographically.
Okay. I was going to say, because I don't know if, you know, we have a lot, you have a lot going on, but Demetrius had brought up, you mentioned the idea of being together and doing a whiteboard, and there's just a different type of synergy and energy that goes along with that. Right. I want to say a couple of weeks back, we were talking about your whole virtual world or whatever, metaverse or whatever. I don't know if you've heard of this thing.
Yeah.
It sounds scary as hell to me, but, you know, do you think, you know, with talking with a lot of people and meeting with so many different people, that from your, you know, from your experience, do you think that would actually help solidify that feeling if you had so many remote, but then you could hop into like this virtual room where you could literally see everybody and try and get that whiteboard effect?
Well, yeah. I mean,
dang it.
Actually, yes, I do. I think that, and the reason is, you know, technology is going to keep going, right? It's going to keep evolving, and we're going to have cooler stuff, and, you know, it's going to hopefully become easier. Because right now, I think that, like, for example, we're starting to have conferences again, right? And so what we're seeing is we have a whole bunch of people, or some people, that really want to show up and do show up to conferences. And then we have other people that want to be there, but, you know, for whatever reason, they don't want to travel, or they're nervous, or whatever their family situation. So they Zoom in, and it's super clunky. This hybrid model is very clunky right now.
Right.
So it shows you the opportunity for better technology to help us solve those things. And I think, you know, the longer the pandemic goes, and God, hopefully now the Delta variant is diminishing, and hopefully we won't have another one pop up, but who knows after all this. Anyway, there will be reasons to continue to develop the technology. You know, I think about gamers, right? Because they live in a virtual environment, and they make friends with people they've never met. And, you know, that happens, that exists. And they collaborate on games, you know, in there, and, you know, things like that go on. So can you apply those things, gaming technology, to, or even better, this, you know, even more expanded to the work environment? And I think, yes, we are going to see that.
Surrogates, man. Like that movie Surrogates, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's yeah, I don't know. But, you know, it's interesting. Space, you know, office space is, you know, and if I was an office building owner right now, I'd be
worried,
you know, over the last year and a half, I'd be reticent, to be sure. Cause you just don't understand. We really still don't know where it's going to go. I think the space itself, though, I think is becoming cooler space, more usable space. Our whole approach is to make it lively and fun space that people would want to come to and want to experience at least some days a week to do their, you know, team meetings, collaboration, maybe come in and spend a day at the office to reconnect with colleagues. I mean, that's important. That human contact, I think, is important. And so I think we're going to find our way. But I mean, for our firm, you know, we're learning from our clients. I mean, our leases are coming up, and, you know, we're not necessarily taking bigger space anymore. Yeah. You know, we're just trying to make our space cooler and make it work for what's going to happen. You know, what our employees need to be their most productive and happy.
From an admin standpoint, I know you said you guys were able to flip to kind of the remote thing extremely quick, which is great.
Yeah.
from a management standpoint, what do you see that spread look like going forward? Is it kind of, do you mandate having to be in office a certain amount of time or not? Like, what does that flexibility look like for you guys?
Yeah. And we're seeing all kinds of variations of that from our clients. And again, I think it depends on the geography a little bit, at least so far, what the rules are. But for us, I think eventually we're going to end up with some sort of, if not mandate, strong suggestion that we have everyone in the office X number of days a week, whether that be two or three or whatever it is, encouraging people to come in and collaborate. I think the one thing that's been in all of our leaders around the company have learned, it takes extra effort from our leadership to make sure they're keeping their teams connected, keeping the one-on-one conversations with each team member going. When you have to do it over Zoom, it's obviously much more difficult, but I think that's one of the things our leaders really paid attention to and tried to adapt to and tried to fill in those gaps. It's so easy to walk through the office and stop at someone's desk and have an impromptu chat, right?
Yeah.
With this stuff, it's hard to have an impromptu chat on Zoom. It's very intentional. You're going to, set up a time to talk to somebody. You might buzz somebody up on Teams and they may be available and they may not, So it's that sort of thing that I think that if there's a downside or there's a, something that's maybe a little less desirable, it's that piece.
I agree.
Before we get out of here, I wanted to give our listeners some insight into what their space could look like, because there's pretty much three avenues. As a owner of a company, you're either going to have a company that's hybrid, full remote, or full in office. What do those three situations look like from a design perspective?
Let me address full remote, because that, I think, only happens under duress. And I think it's a very small percentage of companies when we're past all this that would be fully remote. Okay. For some of the reasons we've already talked about. Mm-hmm. But there may be some, because, it's very interesting. Some, and I'm sure you've read it, and, I know about a lot of people that have moved to Idaho and Montana and, places remote, that they're just like, well, I'll just work, I'll live up there. My real estate's less expensive. I have an awesome view of the mountains and I can work, right?
Yeah.
So to come to the office is a lot more effort now. I'm going to fly in every couple of weeks or whatever it is. So I think, the vast majority of companies will end up in some sort of hybrid mode, and they will assess based on their own culture how many days a week people are going to be coming in, and then they will, strategize the size of their real estate based on that. And I'm not saying the real estate's necessarily going to be smaller. It's just, they may need a lot more collaboration and team space than they ever had before, and fewer assigned desks, because at any given time, they may only have 50% of their people in the office. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to see all kinds of that.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see, once again, a small percentage, and maybe it's very specific to an industry or a kind of a company, or maybe just based on a leader, that is going to say, well, we're going to be in the office 100% again. Mm-hmm. I think early on, there were some companies that were still saying those things because they were like, well, we're just going to get through this and we're going to go back. I think. Well, you've seen the other press. There's a record number of people changing jobs, right, this year. Crazy. And so I think people are going to want to have the flexibility, right? And if they don't get it, they'll probably go somewhere where they can find it. Mm-hmm. So I think the two ends of the spectrum are going to be small, and then we're going to have this vast, sort of gray area of various forms of this hybrid.
Yeah. On the all in office side, does that design change, or do you think that is pretty much what we are previously used to?
Well, I Well, the answer is I think it does change, because okay. I think what's going to happen is any company that has a mandate for 100% in the office will end up changing. Okay. That's what I believe. I just don't think it's realistic.
Yeah.
We were already headed this direction anyway. Like I said, we just accelerated it because it was forced. You know, I think we all had departments and offices, at least we did, even within our firm, that said, well, geez, you know, when we started our experiments with this agile work, we had some departments that said, our team has to stock and work together and look at each other's screens, and we can't work remote.
Yeah.
You know, it was those words. We can't work remote.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So they were forced into it for the last year and a half, and now they certainly can work remote. They get it. They've learned how, right? So I think that's way that, you know, we're just in the next evolution right now.
Yeah. And then I just wanted to touch on the full remote side. Does office go 100% away, or do you still think people will have to obtain some sort of real estate to have a space for a conference room at the minimum, just to get people to have those kind of spaces?
Yeah. And, you know, this idea preceded the pandemic in the form of WeWork, right? And mm-hmm. those companies that are like them. And, you know, for a lot of companies, that was working pretty well. Now, is there corporate headquarters in a WeWork? Well, yeah, there were some, are some, you know, depending on, and maybe there were smaller companies. I know a company here in town that really doesn't have office space. They are 100% remote and have been, but they have a WeWork space that they come together when they need to and use conference rooms and a little bit of space in there. And then they blow out again. So absolutely, there are companies that actually were doing that and will do that for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you so much, Larry. Really informative. Love chatting with you again and catching up. For people that want to find out more about Wear Malcolm or follow along with you and your artwork and everything, give us a few places that we can find you.
Oh, of course. Well, I appreciate you having me on, and it was, as usual, the time flies during the conversation. So I always enjoy talking to you, Demetrius and Jason, about these topics. But, you know, obviously, you know, you can find everything on Wear Malcolm at our website, which is wearmalcolm.com. And with a B, WareMalcolmB. And we're all over every social media platform, Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram, etc. So and we have a YouTube channel too, so we have some stuff on there, some cool videos and stuff. You can find my art. I'm online, Lawrence Armstrong or Lawrence Robert Armstrong. You know, mostly I post on Instagram and LinkedIn, and then my website is laraart.com. So you can find my stuff there and see where I'm exhibiting and see my new work if you want to look at that.
Yeah. I do enjoy looking at that.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Larry. Thanks again, Jason. Thank you to the listeners for listening. And we'll talk again next week. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks again for listening. Spaces is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. If you enjoy our show, you can support us in three simple ways for free. You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app if it allows you to. Tell a friend and follow us on social media. Thanks for spending time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.